Here at Paddy Power, we're the home of the Money Back Special, with some incredible offers every single week. Check out the website or app today. Terms and conditions apply. 18+ begambleaware.org.
Hello and welcome to the Racing Post Snooker Postcast. As you can see, if you're watching, we've donned the studio. It's looking fantastic. We've got the green, got Mark Williams there, sat behind Adrian Humphries, and it's time to get the boys on the bays. We've got the A-team, as I've mentioned, Adrian Humphries alongside me in the studio, and we've got Dave Clark on Skype. I've also got Paddy Powers, Declan Mallon as well. Now, Mrs. Langdon has to put up with a lot from me, you know, Chievo Frosinone on a Sunday morning. She's usually as good as gold, but this 17-day snooker marathon, wall-to-wall, it really does test the relationship. I absolutely love it. So it's the best 2 weeks of the snooker season. Adrian, I'll come to you first of all. Since we last had a snooker postcast, plenty's happened, including Judd Trump beating Ronnie in the Masters. Do you think that could be a significant result?
Very much so. He's taking the game to Ronnie, isn't he? Ronnie's had a great season. And so is Judd, but Judd's done it on more than one occasion this season. Played well against Ronnie, and if he can survive some early rounds, perhaps then we could see a titanic struggle should they meet.
Sure. So Ronnie, like I say, he was beaten by Judd Trump in the Masters, but then Judd also went on to win the World Grand Prix at Cheltenham. O'Sullivan beat Robertson in the Players' Championship, then won the Tour Championship before Robertson absolutely hammered Lizowski in China. So Declan, I've been sort of mentioning now, I think there's three sort of clear runners, aren't there, in terms of Judd, Ronnie and Robertson, all sort of firing on all cylinders. Can you give us a nice deep show of outright betting? But I take it those three feature very prominently.
No problem. As usual, Ronnie's at the top of the market. He's 2-1. And next is Neil Robertson, who's 5-1. He's come in quite a bit in recent months. Judd Trump, 6-1. Mark Selby, 8-1. Last year's champion, Mark Williams, of 14-1. John Higgins, 16-1. Mark Allen, 16-1. Karen Wilson, 16-1. And 22-1 bar.
Okay, now we don't want to give away the tips just yet, Declan, but I mean, in terms of Ronnie, I mean, he's had a fantastic season. The 1,000 tons, he's equaled Hendry's record in terms of rankings. But how do you see his sort of mindset coming to the Crucible?
Well, if the season so far is anything to go by, I think his mindset will be good. I don't think I've seen him look as focused on his game in a long time, if ever. He won the UKs and he looked absolutely delighted when he did it. And in recent months, we haven't heard as much talk about retirement or his usual sort of moans about the tour. So I think he'll be going in a good frame of mind, and I think he looks like he's focused.
Dave, his last world title, 2013. Is he a player that maybe doesn't enjoy this sort of 17-day slog?
Yeah, well, it's interesting what Declan was saying there. We haven't had all the waffle from O'Sullivan, talk of retirement. I mean, there's been the odd moan or two about breakaway tours, etc. But he's one that has always been vocal about how much of a grind it is to win a world title. It's been a while. It's 17 days. It is a marathon. I still think he's got the fight. It's just been a sensational season for him. 10 tournaments he's lined up in, and he's won 5 of them. Obviously gone past the 1,000 centuries. And I thought it was massive in wrestling the number one off of Selby as well. Selby had held it for sort of 4 years. And that was a big statement, I thought, from Ronnie that, you know, I am the man still. He doesn't line up in as many tournaments, but when he does, he's still very much the man to beat.
And Adrian, would you agree with that?
Yes, he is the man to beat. But I think, like Dave, he's been fantastic this season. But you know, at 5-2, he was 5-2-ish. Not sure what price Declan's got him. It was 5-2 last year, and it didn't happen. He's a similar price this year. Actually, he's been nibbled this morning. He's 9-4, 5-2, and there's a lot of potentially tough matches there, starting from the first match. They were talking about, should Ali Carter play him again? Well, he hasn't got him first match, but he's in the half. Judd's obviously, we've said, And Cahill and Peng Fei could even, or Maguire, you know, could even trouble him. And then there's obviously there's other players in the other half, Higgins, Robertson.
Okay, I mean, well, you mentioned Robertson there. Clarkey, can you just sort of give us a few thoughts on the Aussie? I mean, why he had such a terrible spell? Where has this form come from? And is he now back to his best?
Neil Robertson, he sort of burst onto the scene, happy to attempt to pot and usually pot everything in sight, won near enough everything. And there were one or two issues away from the table. I think his wife suffered depression. He mentioned an addiction to video games. And he's kind of put all that behind him now. And he looks as good as ever. I mean, the Robertson swagger around the table, he's very confident. And he, crucially, is a player that is not afraid when playing O'Sullivan. He doesn't fear Ronnie. He's not beat before he even gets to the table. He has that belief. And he's coming into this World Championship as good as ever.
Okay, well, that's good to know. We've got some of the best players playing their best stuff. There's 16 first-round matches to get through. So I don't want war and peace from your lads on all the games. But just a brief tip. Declan, what we'll do is we'll start with you, Paddy Power's prices. You can give a tip and then we'll rattle through. So if you can kick it off, Saturday, 10 a.m, it's the reigning champion, Mark Williams against Martin Gould.
Mark Williams is 3-10 and Martin Gould is 12-5. I'll keep it simple here. I think I'll go Mark Williams -2.5. He hasn't had a good season at all, like since winning the World Open early on, but I think it was just before the Welsh Open, he said that he was going to get his head down and start to practice properly and start treating the game seriously again. There's been signs of an upshoot in his form. He did lose in China 2 weeks ago to Ken Doherty, which obviously isn't good, but he took Trump to a decider in the Tour Championship before that, and the players, he beat Ali Carter, and then he gave Neil Robertson a good game. So I think Williams at -2.5. Gould has come through the qualifiers, so he's plenty of practice, but he's had a poor season and really come through those qualifiers. He didn't beat anybody that you wouldn't expect him to beat, so I would imagine Williams is going to win this match 10-5, 10-6.
I was on the lash once with Gouldy at Cheltenham. Good lad. Clarkie, is he going to be hanging around for too long?
The Pitter Potter, yeah, he did impress during qualifying. Got a good record against Mark Williams as well. He's won the last two times they met in ranking events, 2018 Welsh Open, 2016 German Masters. I'm not convinced by Williams, has to be said. He was sensational last year, but he's not really been at it for me. And I think Gould can push him all the way. And I'll be interested in Gould on the handicap in that one.
So we've got one for Williams on the handicap, one for Gouldy on the handicap. Where are you going, Adrian?
I'd agree with Dave. Gould leads a head-to-head record 5-3, and he's been nibbled already. Williams sort of 2-5-ish to win the match, and Gould's been nibbled. Yes, Williams is at his class, at his best, we know that, defending title, proud moment. But all things, you know, on the balance, if you're getting sort of 3-ish frames, Gouldy, whatever, that would be probably the way to go, I think.
And now it's also 10 o'clock on the other table. It's Luca Brasel versus Gary Wilson. Declan, prices and your best bet, please.
Yep, Brasel is 8-15. Gary Wilson is 6-4. I think this match is going to be very tight. It's hard to see either player sort of pulling away. So I would be going over 16.5 frames. I think it's around even money.
Okay, Dave?
I'm going to be with the former taxi driver, Gary Wilson. Very, very impressive beat. Dominic Dow. And absolutely battered Liang Wenbo in qualifying. Luca Brasel, 3 attempts at the World Championship, yet to win a game at the Crucible. So I'm very much in the Gary Wilson camp with that one.
Taxi for Brasel, Ado?
No, I totally agree with Declan. I think Gary Wilson is playing well, but Brasel's had signs, started the season well, slight dip in the middle, but picked it up in recent times. I think it could be really tight and over the frames. I'm with Declan.
Okay, Saturday, 2:30. Neil Robertson against Michael Georgiou.
Neil Robertson 1-20. Michael Georgiou 8-1. Neil Robertson -5.5 here. It's Georgiou's debut at the Crucible. I think that he'll struggle to handle the pressure, and I just don't think. I'm very surprised he got there, and I think it'll be a handy win for Robbo.
Oh, well, the Thunder from Down Under. When the draw was made, I said, this has got 10-2, 10-3 written all over it. So I'll be splitting mistakes there on the frame scores, Dave.
Yeah, very much the same as Declan. Robertson, highest break, handicap, just domination throughout. I can't really see the first ever Cypriot to line up with the Crucible having a sniff at all.
Okay, and Ado, are you going to clean sweep?
I'm sort of a fantastic effort by Giorgio to make these world finals, must be said. You know, superb former shootout winner. He's got a good temperament, so it's... You know, if you're five, you haven't got much to play with if you get with Robertson. So it could be, I'd almost be tempted to give Giorgio a shout.
On the handicap. Either
that, yeah, on the handicap, or either that or Robertson centuries, do well, make some centuries, that sort of thing. But it's not an easy pick at five.
Okay, and also Saturday afternoon, Ding Junhui versus Anthony McGill, Declan.
Ding Junhui 1-3, McGill 9-4. I'm going to go McGill plus 3.5 here. Ding's had a terrible season. His form's totally went. McGill's hasn't been much better, but he is a real battler. He's done well at the Crucible before, and as was shown against Mulgans there, coming back from 7-2 down, I think it was. He's a great battler, and he'll fight to the end.
Okay, this looks an interesting game, Dave.
It does. Obviously, the current ranking system is on a 2-year list. If it were to be a 1-year list, Ding Junhui would be down to number 30, to give you a clue of how bad a season he's had. Last sighted, losing 6-3 to the legend that is James Watanar as well. So I can't be with Ding here, and I'll be with McGill on the handicaps.
Adrian?
Former world number 3, Watanar, Dave.
Many moons ago, I
watched McGill's final qualifying round the other night. There's money for Ding to do well in already today in this match and to start well. But yeah, McGill's playing better than he was last year. Milkins said that, although Milkins folded terribly. I'd be inclined to go over the frames, I think, something like that, you know, on whatever the handicap is.
Okay, and on Saturday night, Stephen Maguire against Peng Fei, Declan.
Got Stephen Maguire 2-5, Peng Fei 15-8. This isn't a match I would have a huge opinion on, because it's impossible to sort of predict what Stephen Maguire is going to turn up, but forced off a bet, I would side with Maguire -2.5.
Okay, I wonder whether Peng Fei might be a bit of value, Dave.
Yeah, he's a dangerous player. I'm very much the same as Declan. You just do not know which Stephen Maguire is going to turn up. I think the only certainty that is going to be is that we're going to see a Stephen Maguire Q-bang at some stage, whether it be a miss, he's out of position, his Q will take a battering at some stage here. I think it'll be close. It could go the distance. If you're looking for one to go to a deciding frame, it could well be this one.
Well, I mean, that to me then points to a bet on Peng Fei, Adrian.
Quite possibly, Mark. I do agree with Dave. Maguire's had some close ones in the past at the Crucible. Peng Fei played some superb stuff in the qualifiers. Got a bit tight towards the end of his final match against Matthew Stevens. Over the frames.
Okay. On Sunday, 10 a.m, John Higgins, stalwart of Sheffield, takes on Mark Davis. Won't be lacking in experience this match, Declan. Some prices and your thoughts, please.
John Higgins is 3-10 and Mark Davis 12-5. Higgins has had a very poor season by his standard. I think coming off the back of a second consecutive world final loss, it hit him hard, but I'm going to go with him -2.5 here. I think he'll be well up for his return to the Crucible, and I think he'll have too much for Davis.
Dave, do you give Mavis a chance in this one?
Not really. I was a little bit gutted when the draw came out, because I was desperate for Higgins to get one of the sort of livelier qualifiers. He's ended up with Mark Davis, the oldest man in the hat. Just to give you a clue on the regression in John Higgins, last three seasons, total centuries, 57... 50, and this season only 20. He's a legend, one of the greatest players ever, but I think he's on his way out. He's saying all the wrong things, talk of retirement. I expect him to get over the line here, but he'd be a player that I'll be looking to be against in the next round.
And Adrian, have you got a bet for this one?
I'd be with Higgins. I'd just say Mark Davies leads their personal series 10-6.
He's got a good record against Higgins.
If you look down the history, when in a lot of occasions, and certainly at the Crucible, when Davies has beaten him, Higgins has been more out of form than he has been this year. Regarding what Declan said, yes, Higgins is without a title this year, I think, and made a title of note this year. But for me, he's still played very well, consistently well throughout. Yes, Higgins should win if he's been playing it, if he turns up playing anything like he has been. So I'd be with Higgins to, you know, he's not going to murder Davies, but sort of 10-6, 10-7.
Adrian absolutely loves John Higgins. He won't hear a bad word said about him, even when he's sort of playing at Jimmy White standard. He'll still think he could win another one. It's Sunday 2:30. Sean Murphy against Hong Hao. Declan, how's this one going?
Yeah, this should be an interesting one. Murphy is 3-10. Hong Hao is 12-5. Murphy is another player who's just been bang out of form this season. He moved over here to Dublin at the start of the season, and his form seems to have totally went with him. But I'm going to go with a -2.5 here. Hong Hao done well in the English Open. He got to the quarters and gave Ronnie a good game, but since then he's struggled badly. But he done very well to get through the qualifiers, but I think again making his debut at the Crucible against a pass winner, I think it might get to him, and I think -2.5 is more than fair.
Dave, do you agree with that?
I think this is going to be a tight one. As Declan mentioned, Sean Murphy moved to Ireland. He had a daughter, I think it was, who was very, very ill, went to hospital, and kind of his snooker went on the back burner. And that kind of explains why he's had a little bit of a hit and miss season. But I think experience is going to get him through. I think this will go the distance, this one. This could sort of be a 10-7, 10-8 job. This is a star of the future without question, youngest player in the hat. But I think Murphy's experience will get him over the line here.
Do you agree?
I do agree with Dave, very much of that. This lad is a future megastar, I think. Murphy's been missing sitters all season. 66-1 on the outright, isn't it, I think? Yeah, close game. Maybe Hong Hao on the handicaps.
I'm going for Hong Hao to win the game. Monday, 10 a.m. Mark Selby against Xin Tong. Declan, could this be a little tricky one for Selby?
Yeah, definitely. I think so. Selby's 2-9. Xin Tong is 3-1. Selby usually keeps his best form for the World Championships, but he just looks different this time. I think he just seems to have totally lost all form and all confidence. It would never totally write him off, but I think Xin Tong's got a great chance here. He's come back on the tour this year. He's had some great results. He flew through qualifying, and I think I'd side with him. +3.5, and even have a small saver on him to win the match, as big as 7-2.
I think Xin Tong maybe to have the highest break in this game could be the one. Selby's probably just grind him down. Dave, have you got a bet for us?
Yeah, that's not a bad shout, Mark. I do think Selby will grind him down. Very impressive in qualification, but Xin Tao saw off Nopon Sang Kang and Matt Sell, two sort of seasoned pros. But I think experience is going to tell here, and if Selby can't outscore him, I think he might just bore the Chinese youngster into submission here, and he'll get over the line eventually.
He won't outscore him, but he'll outgrind him, Adrian. Do you think Selby's vulnerable?
He's vulnerable, but and Xin Tong is a really exciting talent, but it's just that youth there, and I do think Selby's a master at turning up when he's been written off before. He won in China early in the season, so he does have a title. He's played the odd brilliant match in like an oasis, but I think he's capable of doing better than probably some group give him credit for. So I'll go for Selby. I'm not sure what the handicap is. Maybe Selby to cover it.
Okay. Then Monday 2:30. It's certainly going to be packed out at the Crucible. Ronnie O'Sullivan versus James Cahill. Ronnie, obviously going to be going off very short, Declan.
Yeah, Ronnie is 1-80, Cahill is 16-1.
Rabbit Cahill in the headlights job?
I'm not so sure. He beat Selby in the UKs, but more than likely it probably will be due to the Ronnie factor. Like, even season pros are beaten before they take to the table against Ronnie, so Cahill's going to more than likely struggle as well. So Ronnie's minus 6.5, I would imagine, is the bet.
Okay, Dave?
I think this one is impossible in terms of just how big the gulf will be between them. Cahill could turn up. Some of these, you know, he's the first amateur to ever qualify through to the Crucible, and he may just come alive and, you know, there's no pressure on him, or he could be a rabbit in the headlights. I think O'Sullivan's going to do a job on him and send out a message to everyone else that, you know, I am the main man, number one, and you're going to have to beat me this season. But Cahill, as Declan mentioned, beat Mark Selby 6-3 in the UK. He also beat Sean Murphy in the Welsh Open 4-2. So he's not afraid when lining up. But of course, at the Crucible, that cauldron of pressure. Come on, Ronnie. I'm sure we'll get plenty of that from the crowd. Might just get to him.
Adrian?
Cahill had 4 tons in his first round qualifier against Andrew Higginson, another good player. So for me, Cahill on the handicap.
Okay. Well, Monday... Oh, sorry, Adrian. Go on.
One of the best young players in the country, Cahill.
All right, okay.
You know, even though he's an amateur, he's got a huge future.
Okay, so that could maybe be... maybe I was underselling that game. Monday evening, I think this could be a real good one, actually. David Gilbert against Joe Perry, Declan.
Yep, Dave Gilbert is even money, and Joe Perry is 4-5. It's hard to split these two good competitors, and it's hard to see it not going 10-8, 10-9. So over 16.5 frames, a bit even money.
Okay, so Dave, the qualifier here is the favourite. You agree with that?
Not for me. The Angry Farmer, Dave Gilbert, big fan of Gilbert. First time as a seed, but that won't faze him. He's been brilliant over the last sort of 2 years, 18 months. Joe Perry, along with one or two of the other bigger names that have qualified, wasn't really out of first gear. So we don't really know what kind of form he's in. His experience and his class has got him through. But this is going to be a real game, and I'm going to be with Gilbert at evens. Not for me, odds on Joe Perry. I mean, he's dropped out the top 16 a number of times throughout his career, and he's got a good record at the Crucible. But I just feel that the market's a little bit wrong here. I'd have Gilbert favourite, so I have to be with him here.
And you, Adrian?
Let's not forget that Perry, one of the players that Perry beat in dropping just 5 frames in qualifying, was Martin O'Donnell, who was flying earlier in the season. That was a terrific win, 10-3. It's a tough one. And you can sort of, given Perry's record, I think the bookies have got it virtually spot on. So I'd probably go with Declan and go over the frames. I think Perry could do it, but there's not much in it.
Okay, Tuesday, 10 a.m. We've got two former world champions lining up against each other. Stuart Bingham, Graham Dott, Declan.
Yep, Stuart Bingham's 2-5. Graham Dott is 15-8. Bingham's been in flying form this season. He's been going deep in a lot of tournaments. The opposite can be said about Graham Dott. He said himself in his interview after his match yesterday, it's strange. He gets hammered all year, and then he gets to the Worlds, into the qualifiers, and he sails through them. I think he could run Stuart Bingham close here. He's a sort that will never give up, and I think, again, I'd say Bingham will probably come through, but I would say maybe 10-8, 10-7, so he'll go over 16.5 frames again on this one.
Clark, you been picking any balls out for Stuart Bingham lately? I know you sort of hang around the Basildon snooker clubs.
Not for a while. Well, he's now playing out of Rayleigh. But yeah, Graham Dott, another one of these players. You know, he's all class, former winner. But he just breezed through qualification. It's impossible to know what kind of form he's going to be in. As Declan mentioned, he hasn't been great outside of the World Championship qualification. Whereas Bingham, Gibraltar Open winner, English Open winner, he's coming to the boil nicely. I think he's going to make short work of Graham Dott, and he's a bit of a runner this year.
Are you Dotty? Are you potty for Dotty?
I love Graham Dott. I think he's played some of the best snooker down the years at the Crucible.
He loves you.
But Bingham has played, has indeed played, superbly well this season. He's out to win every match he can do and title he can do. And hard to know. What's the handicap there, Declan, please?
Over 16.5.
Over 16.5. So... I'll probably go with Bingham 10-6, 10-7.
Okay. On Tuesday, 2:30, I'm not expecting this one to last too long. Could be a rapid game. Judd Trump against Uno, Declan.
Yep. Trump is 1-8. Uno is 5-1. Yep. I'm really looking forward to this one. It should be a great match. Sorry not to look past Trump here, but Fipchaya, I would take him in the handicap plus 4.5 because he's just such a fantastic break builder. He can rattle frames off in no time at all. So I think when you've got that ability, I think he should be more than capable of winning the six frames that would get the plus 4.5 in.
And Dave?
Yeah, very dangerous player, Fipchaya Noah. Obviously, the shootout winner, twice compiled maximum centuries as a pro and twice missed the final black as well. Very, very good amongst the balls. What I will say, had this match been sort of 3-4 years ago, I think Trump would have his hands full. But he's a more rounded, mature match player now. And I think he's just going to have a little bit too much. Very short at 1-9. I could see sort of a 10-5, 10-6 job here. And as you say, Mark, I don't think this one's going to take too long.
Adrian?
Yeah, I'll give Unu a chance in this one. It's two, Trump leads their series 2-1. Unu won quite well when he won his match. And yeah, I'd get with him on a handicap, I think.
Okay, and then 7:30, Zhu Long against Mark Allen. A tricky old game, this one, for Mark Allen, maybe, Declan?
Not for me, I don't think so. Allen is 2-9, Yulong is 3-1. I just think Allen will be going into this well prepared, and he usually gets a job done fairly comfortably in his first round games at the Crucible, and I think seeing Yulong's name come out of the hat today, he'd be quite content with that.
Okay, Dave, you got a bet for us?
Just be with Mark Allen in any which way you can. I think he looks the banker of the first round. I think he'll comfortably, this could be the 10-1, 10-2 jobby here. I think Mark Allen will cruise through this one.
Do you agree with that, Adrian?
I think you underrated Zhu Yulong a bit. He's a terrific young talent. However, Allen's had a great season, but it just in recent weeks, stroke months, his form's not quite as good as it was, say, early mid-season. So, yeah, Allen should win, but I think 10-5, something like that.
Okay, and then we're getting towards the end now. Wednesday, 10 a.m, Barry Hawkins, who certainly loves the Crucible, playing Lee Hang, Declan.
Yeah, Hawkins is 1-3, Hang is 9-4. Hawkins is another player who is sort of out of form this season. But it's hard to dismiss his record at the Crucible. It's unbelievable. But I think he could be vulnerable here, and I think Hang will go very close to beating him. So I'll take Hang plus 3.5.
Oh, I tell you. Do you see an upset in this one, Dave?
I don't see an upset, but I think it'll be close. Sort of 10-7, 10-8 to Hawkins, who Declan mentioned, phenomenal record at the Crucible. Last six seasons, five times he's made it to the single table setup. So phenomenal. Traditionally, saves his best form for the back end of the year, and that's where we are now with Hawkins. Not done a lot so far this season, but it'll all be coming back to him once he steps down those stairs at the Crucible, and I think he'll get the job done here.
Oh, Adrian, last year, Barry Hawkins, I backed him each way. I was in Orlando. I was had a rest day by the pool rather than going to the parks. I got a VPN. I was watching his semi-final against Mark Williams. Absolutely broke my heart, that did. Do you expect Barry Hawkins to be tested here?
Yeah, it could be. I agree with what Dave and Declan said. Hang's been sort of underrated for a long part, but He's really coming on nicely with experience, and Hawkins is a classy player. So I sort of agree with Declan, probably 10-7, that sort of thing. Probably get with Hang just about on the handicap if it's enough.
And 2:30, Kyron Wilson against Scott Donaldson. Kyron has changed. He's sort of going for a sort of setup change, isn't he? I think someone was telling me, and that's why some people suggesting he could be vulnerable, but should be easy enough against Scott Donaldson, Deck.
Yeah, I think so. Surprised to see him. I'm surprised he wasn't shorter than what he is. Kyron's 1-5, Donaldson's 7-2. I just think his debut at the Crucible will be too much for Donaldson. I'm not sure how well he'll handle the pressure. He was well up in Luning and last night, and he let it go all the way to the decider, and he really probably should have lost, and his head looked all over the place at the time. Even in his interview afterwards, he said himself he doesn't know how he managed not to lose the match in the end. I think Kyron will be well up for this. I think you'll have seen that the draws worked out pretty well for him, and he's got a lot of belief in himself. I think he'll be aiming to get to the final this year, and I think he'll make short work of Donaldson.
Do you agree with that, Dave?
Yeah, very much so. Anyone who watched Donaldson fall over the line against Luning, I mean, he was 7-2 up, and in the decider, which incidentally was the only final qualifier that went to a decider, he should have lost, really. Ning was in the balls, went into the reds, and he just didn't really fall on one, and he was all over the place, Donaldson, and I think he's going to be one of those players making his Crucible debut where I think he's going to be a rabbit in the headlights.
Okay, and Adrian, Kyron to sort of metaphorically sort of stamp on his head and sort of batter him?
No, I'm going to go against what the other guys have said. I think,
it's all rubbish.
I think Donaldson has got a good temperament. I think it'd be a different type of pressure at the Crucible than they experienced at the English Institute of Sport. Donaldson's had a terrific season. He's gone close on a number of occasions. And yeah, Kyron hasn't been playing his best, but Kyron should win. But if I'm getting a decent handicap start on Donaldson, I'll consider it.
Okay, and now we've saved the best until last. 7:30 Wednesday, it all kicks off. Jack Lisowski, don't know what he's done to deserve this. He's in the wrong half of the draw, and then he's been paired with Ali Carter in the opener. Declan, this is going to be a classic, isn't it? How'd you bet?
Yeah, this was a hard one to put a price on, to be honest. It was hard to decide who to favour in it. But Lisowski is 5-6. Carter is even money. Lisowski obviously in better form this season, but Carter's got has a good record at the Crucible. I'm going to side with Carter here. I think you can get as big as 6-5 on him, and I think that's a good bet. I'm still not sure about Lisowski once he comes up against the sort of top 16 sort of level player, which Carter is. So yeah, Carter 6-5. I think as the game goes on, he'll just edge it.
You can get your Get Carter headlines ready now. Dave, have you got a bet in this one?
Well, as you both know, gentlemen in the studio,
big fan of
Jack Lisowski. And again, we're talking about a player here, established professional in Ali Carter, who probably got the game to be in the top 16 and be a seed. But he's come through without getting out of first gear. He's taken on the likes of Jimmy White. I mean, he absolutely destroyed Jimmy White. Looked decent in the balls, but I do think, you know, outside of Ronnie O'Sullivan, I think in Jack Lisowski, you're looking at the most naturally talented player on the tour. He's got the ability to just rattle off frame after frame after frame. Carter's got a great record at the Crucible. But I think he might just bump into one here, and I expect Lisowski to do a job on him.
Okay, so it's one vote for each, Adrian. You've got the deciding.
Oh, I think Clarkey's got it spot on. I'm full of respect for Carter, but this is a tough match for him. It's 1-0 to Lisowski. Lisowski's won their only previous match, and there's a little bit of support already for Lisowski. Carter's two-time finalist, but I think they're right to make Lisowski a slight favourite.
Okay, well, thanks very much. We'll be back with more next.
Here at Paddy Power, we're the home of the Money Back Special, with some incredible offers every single week. Check out the website or app today. Terms and conditions apply. 18+, begambleaware.org.
It's the World Championship Snooker Postcast. Thanks very much for joining us. Now we're going to go through the quarters and try and work out who's going to sort of make their way through to the latter stages at the Crucible. So we'll start in quarter one. We've got Mark Williams, Dave Gilbert, Barry Hawkins, Kyron Wilson, they're the seeds in there. Adrian, I'll come to you first. Who would you anticipate to come through that quarter?
Really tough little section with Kyron Wilson and Barry Hawkins. I just think Kyron's got Kyron's had slightly better season, won 3 titles, and he just appeals a bit more as a sort of winner than Barry. Barry might win the title 1 year, hopefully he will. But I'd go with, I think Mark Williams could be vulnerable, class player in the long run. So I'll go with Kyron to win that quarter.
I think I'm going to go with Barry Hawkins. I just think the younger player, and Kyron's maybe a bit different, but a lot of these younger players, they don't play that many longer distance matches, do they? So I think Barry Hawkins, just in terms of, I'd rather be with all of the experienced guys, really, because I just think that they're used to playing the longer matches, and it seems to suit them. Some of these, like the young Chinese ones, just doesn't seem to, you know, they play with these best of 7 shootouts, and it doesn't seem to suit that their game, these sort of 2, and then when we get into 3 sessions.
Yeah, I had a look at Hawkins and Wilson's head-to-head record earlier, and Hawkins, I think Hawkins leads, but in recent years, Kyron's sort
got
of
it back.
Ate into it. So.
Okay, Dave, who do you think is going to come through this? There's a few older stages in there. Williams, of course, Martin Gould, Joe Perry's played well at the Crucible before. Who's coming through quarter one?
Well, I think you just hit the nail bang on the head there, Mark, talking about these longer matches. A lot of the tour now is best of 7, wham, bam, thank you, ma'am, can be done within an hour. Now the guys are playing over sort of 8-9 frame sessions, coming back the next day or a day after to go again. And that experience that Barry Hawkins has got, I think we'll see him through. Mark Williams is a runner, but I was just surprised to see Barry Hawkins, I think, 3rd in the betting to win quarter number 1. And that'll do for me. I think he's a big runner this year.
Okay, and Declan?
I'm going to go Kyron Wilson, quarter 1, because I think he's got a fairly handy first round match in comparison to Hawkins. So yeah, I think Kyron Wilson for quarter 1. I think actually Mark Williams could maybe lose out in the second round to Joe Perry.
Okay, so not going to be a successful defence for Mark Williams. Well, at least we won't have to see him naked again. So that there's at least one positive to that. In terms of quarter 2, Dave, I'll come to you first. We've got John Higgins among the seeds, Stuart Bingham, Sean Murphy, Neil Robertson. I'd expect one of those 4, I think it's fair to say, to top quarter 2. Who do you think is going to be in the semi-final out of that lot?
Well, I think that one of the givens is that Neil Robertson will be playing someone from either John Higgins, Mark Davis, Stuart Bingham and Graham Dott, because I can't see Michael Giorgio, Sean Murphy or Hong Hao causing him much problems. Robertson will be there for me in the quarterfinals. I just fancy that Stuart Bingham's coming to the boil nicely. I think he can see off Dot. I think he'll be the player to maybe send John Higgins into retirement. Who knows? But then take on Robertson, and then it'll be between those. And at the prices, I'll probably take a chance with Bingham.
Adrian?
I fancy Higgins, you'd be surprised to hear, to win the quarter. I think he's sort of, you can get about 3-1-ish or something. Robertson's nearer even money and being backed to win the thing, to win the quarter. But I think, I do agree with you, Mark. You said Lu Hong Hao could win the match. And I think he could even go on to trouble Robertson a little bit, possibly. So, you know, which could work in Higgins' favour. So
okay.
Higgins to win the quarter.
So we've got Higgins and Bingham, 2 looking to take on the favourite in the second quarter. Declan, you looking to get Robertson beat as well?
Yeah, I'm going for Higgins as well for this quarter. I think Higgins will see this as probably his last realistic chance of winning the World Championship. And I think he'll look at this half of the draw and that'll motivate him plenty. And I think he'll beat Robertson in the quarterfinal.
No, I think Robertson will be able to use the other end of his cue and win this quarter. So in terms of quarter 3, and now it gets really tough because a lot of the big names are all housed in the bottom half. So in quarter 3, we've got Mark Selby, Lisowski, Allen, Ali Carter. Brussel is the other seed alongside Lisowski, Allen and Selby. Looks a real tough one. This, Declan, I'll come to you first. Who have you sussed?
going to go for Mark Allen this quarter. I think he'll get through his first two matches without too many issues, and more than likely it's going to be Selby he comes up against, but he's got a decent record against him, and a Selby bang out of form, I think Allen has a great chance in this quarter.
Dave?
Yeah, I think of the big seeds, the big names, I think Mark Allen's possibly got one of the best draws going. I could see him sort of making his way to the latter stages here, but if Selby gets this far, I think he'll see off Mark Allen and then he becomes a big runner. I mean, if he can play himself into form here, Mark Selby, his matches are not going to be won and lost, really, in just one session. And I think he'll come to the ball nicely. And if he gets to the quarterfinals taking on Mark Allen, I think he'll be warmed up enough to see him off.
I'm going to chuck in another one there. The way Lisowski finished off Bingham in that recent event in China, that final frame, I know he then got battered by Robertson in the final, but the way that break was one of the best breaks I've seen this season. I think he's got the sort of balls now to go deep and beat these guys. Who are you going for, Adrian?
No, it's only eight runners in the quarter, but it's hellishly tough. I do prefer the seeds in this section. Selby, Lisowski and Allen have the obvious claims of the three seeds. Yes, it's negative surrounding Selby, but I think he's about 6-4 to win the thing, which I wouldn't be backing, but I still think he's probably the likeliest winner, but that says that. So I'll go with Selby with no great confidence.
Okay, and then it's the bottom half. Judd Trump, Ding Junhui, Stephen Maguire, Ronnie O'Sullivan are the four seeds. Not sure what some of these players have done to deserve to get such a hellish draw, but that's the way it is. Adrian, who is coming through this bottom section?
I shall go with Judd Trump.
He's got the beating of Ronnie.
It could be. He's got the beating of most players. But he's got a tough match to start with Unnu. He looks like he's playing well enough to deal with Ding now. Not that Ding's certainly going to get through against McGill. Yes, Ronnie takes the beating, but we're looking for ones who can beat him. And as we said at the start, Trump has played him very well this year. So if Trump makes it to the quarterfinals, he should be a different player than maybe he will be in the first round.
Okay, and Dave?
Yeah, I think it'll be Judd Trump beating Ronnie O'Sullivan in that quarterfinal. And, you know, I don't think that Trump's got too bad a draw. If Ding turns up, then all of a sudden he becomes a runner. If he gives McGill a pasting, it could be quite a close game between him and Trump. But if McGill beats Ding, I think Trump will just warm up nicely. And he's one of these players that we've already mentioned, not afraid to take on and beat Ronnie O'Sullivan. And that might be the difference.
That was a stunning game when, was it in the Tour Championship, when Ronnie just beat Judd with the final black. It was one of the best matches I think I've seen for many a year. I mean, I'm going to go for Trump as well. Declan, can we get a full house for Judd Trump backers?
You can. I fancy Trump to beat Ronnie here in the quarterfinal. He's beat him a couple of times this season. He beat him comfortably in the Masters, and that got a monkey off his back that he'd finally won another Triple Crown event, and he just looks to have total belief now when he goes out to play Ronnie that he can beat him. And I don't think there's that big a difference, and there should be that big a difference in prices between the two of them for the quarter.
Okay, well, what you've been waiting for is our best bets to win the outright, and they're coming up right after this.
Here at Paddy Power, we're the home of the Money Back Special, with some incredible offers every single week. Check out the website or app today. Terms and conditions apply. 18+ BeGambleAware.org.
Welcome back to the Snooker Postcast. We're getting down to the nitty-gritty now, not far away from finding out who our bets are to win the World Championship. But Declan, never mind Cheltenham being the Olympics, in terms of horse racing, for snooker traders, this is your Cheltenham. You must have loads of specials for us.
Yep, we do indeed. We've got a lot priced up, and we'll have even more priced up by the close of play tonight.
A money back special as well?
Yes, we are doing money back if your player is 3 frames up and goes on to lose the match. So obviously it can be frustrating if your player's
Ryan Day's not qualified, because he'd be a lovely one for that, wouldn't he?
Yeah, if you're backing somebody who can't really handle the pressure, it may be a good one to use.
So in terms of the specials, Dave, I'll come to you. Is there anything you like?
I'm quite interested in what price a 147 will be with Declan. We've not had one for quite a while. So I think it falls into the camp of that we are very much due one. And whenever you get involved in this market, the one player that needs to be on form for it to be a runner is Ronnie O'Sullivan. And I think he comes into this World Championships almost as good as ever. So I think the 147 is odds against, and I'll probably make it an odds on chance.
Okay, Declan, what price are you there, a 147?
I'd be in total disagreement with Dave here. We are no 8 to 11, yes, 11 to 10. That no to me actually looks a bit big. I'm not sure who priced that up, but...
Lumping on the no. Is there anyone in the sort of highest break sort of deck when you get around to pricing up? Is there anyone sort of maybe among the outsiders that you think, you know, that they're not going to win the tournament, but they may just be able, you know, to knock in a 144 or a 145 or something like that?
Yeah, well, there was a couple that you definitely would have been putting down, like Fachaya, Anu and Centon.
100%.
Then they've been landed with nightmare draws. Hopefully there's some buggies that... still stick out a big price, and then maybe Stuart Bingham, he's been making centuries for fun this season. He'd be another one I'll be keeping a close eye on what price he goes up.
Okay, Adrian, anything you like the look of in terms of the special markets?
Remind people that whilst they tend to make 147s for fun these days, there hasn't been one there at the Crucible since 2012.
So you've been the no camp as well, so you'd be leaning towards.
Well, that. I mean, the stats would suggest that, but it's they make them too easy these days. So
I was going to say, in terms of the sort of total century line, do you think that the pockets and tables will play nicely for the centuries? I mean, there's always rumours, aren't there?
You can never tell until you actually see them, get a look at them on day one.
Okay. Anyone got anything else they want to shout out before we get to the main event in terms of the outright bets? Dave, you got anything else?
I was exactly the same as Declan. I like Thepchai Nua, highest break. Declan did say that Paddy will be pricing it up. Look out for that one because...
Paddy's pricing it up himself, is he?
Yeah, although I don't think he'll beat Trump. I think he'll get chances... And boy, he's good amongst the balls, and he can put a 140, maybe even a 147, up on the board himself.
Declan, is there anything else you like the look of, or should we crack on with the outright selections?
Just talking about the centuries, we have the line up there at the minute, 84.5, 5-6. I'm pretty sure that it's been 84 the last couple of years. It's fell on. If having to have a bet on that, I would probably back the overs. I think it seems to me that. In recent times, they've been making the sort of tables that bit easier, and I don't know whether it's to get more interest in it, or like obviously the public like to see the higher breaks, so yeah, be on the overside of that, if anything.
Okay, well, now it's time for the main selections in terms of who's going to win this year's World Championship, who's going to follow Mark Williams in lifting the famous trophy. What we'll do is we'll let Declan, you can go first.
I'm going to go for Mark Allen here. I'm quite happy to avoid those towards the top of the market, especially Ronnie and Trump, with them two being in the same quarter. I just think Allen, he had a great first half of the season. He won the International Championship and he won the Scottish Open. And in between, he got to the UK Championship final. He was playing unbelievable stuff at that stage. I think if he finds that form again, he's got a very winnable quarter. And once he would get the semi-final stage, I think he would fear nobody. And he didn't go to China. Apparently, he stayed at home to concentrate on his game. And by all accounts, he's been playing great in practice. So he's got a couple of winnable first couple of matches that I think will just tee him up nicely for a shot at the title.
Okay. Dave, who are you backing to follow Mark Williams?
I'm going to be with Mark Selby, who many people think I'm absolutely mental to be to putting up. He lost 10-4 to Joe Perry last year in the first round, but he has won it three times. Mark Selby saves his very best for the Crucible. Something is amiss this season, or has been amiss this season. No two ways about that. But we've been here before. 2016, Mark Selby withdrew from the the China Open. He withdrew from the Players' Championship just before the two final events, before the World Championship, cited personal issues, didn't take part in those, and then he lined up and he did the business. I just feel that Selby is a little bit too big now in the betting. He's fourth in behind Ronnie, Robertson and Trump. He's got a decent enough draw, and I'm drawn in by the price. So it's going to be Selby for me. He's a real specialist, won it through the last 5 years, Mark Selby, and I think he's the man to beat.
Right, so we've got two votes, none for Ronnie O'Sullivan, but both in that sort of bottom half of the draw. Adrian, what do you consider to be the best bet?
I think I'm inclined to take a chance on Kyron Wilson. I've said it's a tough section of Barry Hawkins, there's not much between them. I think Kyron might just be good enough to do that. Yes, like Declan is right, Hawkins has a tougher match against Lee Hang. So I think Kyron's played well enough in the past to say, should Mark Williams be there in a quarter final? He's played well enough against Williams, played fantastically against Williams in the past in China. Big respect for John Higgins, as I've said in the second quarter, but Kyron Wilson was close enough to Higgins in their latest meeting at the Crucible to think that it might not take too much turning around should and Higgins not be at his brilliant best. So I'll take a chance on Kyron.
Okay, well, some nice prices there. People looking to take on the obvious. I'm backing Neil Robertson. I just think it's a really nice draw. Murphy and then Higgins or Bingham. I expect him to play maybe Barry Hawkins or it could be Kyron in the semi-finals. But, I like the way that Robertson just absolutely oozed class in China. Went down the stretch to beat Selby in the Tour Championship. Not many get the better of Selby when it comes to a decider. He then lost the final to Ronnie 13-11. But that was a much better effort than when he got beat by him 10-4 in the Tour Championship. So, in the Players' Championship. So I think we can see a steady progression from Robertson back to his best. He knows how to win in Sheffield. So I'm going for the Thunder from Down Under. And now it's time for this.
This will not be beaten.
It's time for the Naps. Adrian Humphreys, you can go first.
John Higgins to win the second quarter.
Okay. Dave Clark.
Well, I bet that we've already mentioned in this postcast, Barry Hawkins to win the first quarter. Five times out of the last 6 years, Barry Hawkins has made it to the single table setup. He's third in the betting. I think the market's wrong. And I think he'll get the job done again.
And Declan?
No 147 if you can get the 8-11 that we are currently offering.
Maybe you won't be able to get that. Dave Clark, he'll be laying it, don't worry, all day long. I'm going to go for a massive price one, really, in turn for the Nap. I think Robertson to play Trump in the final. I just think that Trump, once he's beaten Ronnie O'Sullivan, it could be that, that takes a lot out of him. And Robertson, with the easy half of the draw, he comes home and does the business in the final. But that's it. And thanks very much for joining us today. Don't forget, we've got an absolute Easter bonanza of postcasts available. We've done the football one already on Thursday. There's racing for the Good Friday stuff. There'll also be reviews with Maddie as well on Monday. Our tech gurus as well finally have got us on Spotify. Not before time as well, I hear you ask, apart from Adrian, who just doesn't even know what Spotify is. But you can listen there and, of course, on the Apple Podcasts app. Plus, you can watch us on YouTube as well. Just search Racing Posts to find us and subscribe. I'm off to the divorce courts, but until next time, good luck.
Here at Paddy Power, we're the home of the Money Back Special with some incredible offers every single week. Check out the website or app today. Terms and conditions apply. 18 plus, begambleaware.org.